Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, mighty prophet of the Lord.
So I wanted to share a little bit on something very important here. This dreadful tribunal of God, commission of God, this dreadful justice of God, the righteous justice. And on that day, he says, every man will be judged according to the deeds they have done while they are in their body, in these current bodies they were. That's why he raises the warning of keep watch. So he's essentially saying that keep watch, because, hey, if you don't prepare, a day is coming when there will be either judgment or reward unto all men, because all have been summoned to appear before that tribunal, before that commission of judgment, of justice, before that court of justice, because before the righteous seat of the Lord. And he says, and when all will appear before the throne, some will be judged and others rewarded. And this will happen according to the deed they have done while they are in their body. Hence, indeed, this becomes the most important warning, but should be a most important awakening, a wake-up call to this present generation. And this should also be the reason, really, indeed, for everybody, really, to pursue righteousness. You could call it temperament, but I'm saying righteousness is the key, the foundation. Because he said, that will be a righteous seat of judgment. That will be a righteous judgment, righteous throne, standing before it. All summoned to account for what they did while they're in their bodies here. And so, altogether, if you look at the events that the Lord is discussing in Matthew 25, the parable of the coming of the kingdom of God, that the Holy Spirit lays forth as the kingdom of heaven in Matthew, you see the Lord using Matthew 25 verse 13, that warning. Therefore, keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Essentially, it is a warning on the need to be righteous, the need for this generation, if there is any reason for them to really get out of the way of their busyness on this earth, in this world, and pursue righteousness, it is this one here, that a judgment is coming. A judgment is coming, so it is profitable to stop for a moment and pursue righteousness. And he's saying, this promiscuous, this really very excessive generation, dispensation, this promiscuous dispensation, this excessive generation of providence we live in today. You know, you can see that today everywhere. It's all about provision. Everybody on providence. They're running up and down on providence. And I'm saying, I'm calling it this promiscuous and excessive generation or dispensation of providence that we live in today. He says, this generation of pursuing providence has brought with it something very amazing. It is a generation that has not encouraged righteousness. It is a dispensation that has not encouraged righteous men to pursue righteousness, to continue living in righteousness. That is what the Lord is raising in Matthew 25, verse 13. That's why he's saying, please, preparedness. Why? Judgment is coming. And he's raising that, please, keep watch. Why? Because if you look at this generation of providence, this dispensation of providence that we live in, where all are indeed occupied with providence, then Matthew 25, 13 becomes very key in alerting a warning. He's saying, this generation of providence has been characterized by the following. He says, characterized by a lifetime in which we see righteous men and women being afflicted, being tormented, In other words, you can call it being destituted, becoming destitute. I just wanted to use only those three demonstrations of what's happening today to the righteous. Why the Lord raised forth Matthew 25 verse 13? Because of what has happened to the righteous today. Anybody that tries to pursue righteousness today, you will quickly find that you are being afflicted, you are being tormented, and you are being destituted. By who? By the wicked persons, the wicked population. You find that the wicked, it is as though this dispensation has allowed, has permitted, because of the occurrences of this time we live in. It is as though anyone that pursues righteousness, this dispensation has permitted the wicked to triumphantly ride over their heads. Meaning, this dispensation has put together some modalities, some instruments that makes it easier for the wicked to really triumphantly ride over the heads of the righteous, and surely go undisputed. Nobody will dispute it. You know, nobody will come and fight it. That is why the Lord raised forth the tower of Matthew 25, verse 13, as a warning. Because if you look at this generation and this dispensation, which is characterized with providence, go to school, get a degree, get a certain job. Go to this, do this, get a certain job. Even in church, today you find pastors who solely open churches as a way of providence, as a way of finding a livelihood and a living, other than a calling. And you see, those who go to study what to become what, everybody is looking for a job. Everybody is looking for occupation, some kind of work to do, so that they can provide for themselves. And it has become so brutal that there is heartlessness and heedlessness. They don't care. The current generation, because they are being pushed by the urge for providence, now this dispensation has now raised up this very ugly hour at which anybody that tries to be righteous, a righteous man, a righteous woman, will soon run into a situation, headwinds you can say, but a situation in which they are afflicted, they are destituted, and tormented. By who? By the unrighteous. Because when you look at the laws that operate at this hour, it is as though these laws have been raised to be able to facilitate the wicked to triumphantly ride over the heads of the righteous, and that may go undisputed. Nobody should dispute that. And that's why the Lord raised forth Matthew 25 verse 13 to rebuke this occurrence. Why the world today favors the wicked trampling over the heads of the righteous. So then the Lord says, however, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You don't worry, even if they are doing this to you. You don't worry. A day is coming when there shall be payment unto them. Don't worry, even if you are trying to pursue righteousness, and they turn around and they triumphantly ride over your heads and they torment you, they destitute you, and they afflict you, harass you. He says, don't worry in this Matthew 25:13. Why? Because he says, a day is coming when all men will have been summoned to appear before the righteous throne of God. And so he says, this Matthew 25 verse 13 essentially rebukes the current state of the affair. The current state of the affair, where the righteous cannot survive, stands rebuked. And that's why Matthew 25 13, that's why the Lord raised it up to encourage the pursuit for righteousness within this dispensation of providence, where everybody is pursuing providence. I think this is a very important piece that the Lord is picking out from this entire parable, and that's why he puts it in the middle of the discussion about the end judgment. So it really implies that the day is coming when God will judge the world in righteousness. And so for those who feel afflicted, tormented, and destituted in their pursuit for righteousness by the wicked, he tells them, no, don't worry. I have raised unto you that Matthew 25, verse 13, to imply that a day is coming when the God of heaven, the God of heaven will bring forth judgment unto this world, meaning he will judge this world in righteousness. And for those who have suffered, been tormented while pursuing righteousness, he says, this should be solace, consolation for you, because when that day comes, when God will judge the world in righteousness, he will also administer equity unto his people. That means compensation now. He will also administer compensation, equity, so to say, unto his righteous people. Another thing that the Lord is raising is the fact that in that parable, he's saying that those who continue to pursue the sinful lusts of this world, the moral decay that you see in this world, they are the ones that at this time, I'm talking about now as we speak, they are essentially living to boldly, with courage, to courageously deny the coming of the Messiah. Why? Because you have seen that this world, with its arrogance and the pride of this world, it is as though it is essentially saying that, look, the Messiah will not come. That's one of the key features that the Lord raises in that parable that I wanted to bring to your attention. So he's saying that when you look at the world, this dispensation, this generation, the way they are going about their lives, within the context of the warning of Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, and especially the warning at verse 13, then you see the Lord, you hear the Lord saying that those who consistently pursue the sinful lust of this world, those who live in arrogant pursuit of pride, as you see the world today, they are the ones that live to boldly deny the coming of the Messiah. And the Lord raises for the righteous Matthew 25, verse 13, as a consolation. He said, don't worry, their day is coming. Their day is also coming when they shall stand summoned before the righteous throne of God, and then the Lord will dispense justice, his righteous justice on that day, and also equity, compensation to those that have pursued righteousness despite the hostilities of the day. And inside those that indeed deny the coming of the Messiah, you find many that will profane the name of the Lord. You find the drunkards of this day. You'll find the sexually immoral, the adulterers. And you see very clearly that such like, without a doubt, they represent the foolish virgins. They represent the foolish virgins because they have not thought it prudent to wisely prepare. Where wisely means the act that those who are seeking righteousness are doing today. Wisely means pursuing your life today in the fear of the Lord. So it talks about those wisely pursuing the kingdom of God wisely in this very difficult dispensation. However, I want to get a little deeper within this parable of Matthew 25:1-13. Having said that preamble for you, I want now to get much, much deeper with you. So, like I said, when you pull out the parables of Jesus, you go through the Bible, you decide just to plow through the Bible and pull out each of the parables that the Lord gave us. I said very clearly that all of them indeed talk about the kingdom of God. And I began clearly by saying, in the book of Matthew, the Holy Spirit gives us so much knowledge when he says the kingdom of heaven, which implies or designates the kingdom of God. He talks about the sovereignty of the Lord over the heavens. He talks about the unassailable reign of God over the heavens, meaning the heavens belong to God. And only the godly shall have claim of a residence in heaven. Only the godly can inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so, I mentioned also that this parable sits at the center of that long conversation of the final judgment. I raise henceforth the preparedness, which I've gone through a little bit with you, how preparedness and justice and judgment are the two pillars he raises there. However, I want now to bring to your attention something much more interesting in this scripture. You see that when the Lord gives us that parable of Matthew 25:1-13, when I read it, I found it quite amazing. I found that the Lord was indeed challenging the church, challenging the Christians in that parable. And there are few Christian characteristics, features of Christianity that you see that the Lord was putting to challenge. He was challenging the present-day Christians and church in their inclusive tendencies. Because sometimes, when you look at the present-day church, I think all the time, really, and I can speak globally now, across the ends of the earth where the Lord has taken this message, the message on the coming of the Messiah, you will find that the church is so inclusive. She has so much of inclusive tendencies on this day. When you look at the body of Christ, and then you narrow down to the individual believer, you'll find that the way they are pursuing their Christianity is so inclusive that sometimes they tend to include the world into their Christianity. They intend to include the world with all its moral decay and its modernism and its compromise into their Christianity. And that is what I want to highlight here. That's what I saw. That's what hit my face when I was going through during this fast. I was going through this Matthew 25, a major, major, major scripture, Matthew 25:1-13, a major scripture, a major sermon that should really be sitting at the center of the church, considering the time that we have arrived at. So, I found that as I went through this, the Lord ministered to me in the fact that this is a challenge that he is raising to the present-day church. And this is really at the core of the message he has sent me with, the calling he has laid into my life to bring to the ends of the earth about the coming of the Messiah. I could see that very clearly here. The announcing of the coming of the Messiah, the preparedness that the church ought to embrace, and the warning on the failure to prepare, the judgment. But when I went deep into this scripture, then I found that this parable of Matthew 25 also brings forth a challenge unto the way the present-day body of Christ is living their life. I've mentioned the righteous pursuing their righteous lives, and they are being triumphantly trampled upon
or they're being roared, they're ahead, the wicked are riding their head, and nobody can challenge that. However, that also happens in the church. The Lord is now raising a challenge here through Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, and he's saying that what is wrong with you, church? How come you can't see that in Matthew 25, 1 to 13, I raise forth a challenge unto your way of Christianity, your greatest inclusive tendencies, your tendencies of inclusiveness, where everything goes. This Matthew 25, 1 to 13 challenges the inclusiveness, the inclusive tendencies of the current day church. How does he do that? He does that by raising forth the fact that there is a group of Christians that the Bible calls the wise church, the wise virgin, that so seem very keen to embrace preparedness. They embrace preparedness, having very much been aware of what judgment is coming. And then they begin to prepare wisely. But what amazes me so much is this, that as they embrace preparedness, there is another group within the church, and I know that group essentially in my teachings about apostasy, they represent the world, the merger with the world that has come into the church. There is another group that is inside the church, and part of it is the world, and that group is not prepared. I want you to follow me very carefully on this. How the Lord challenges the inclusive tendencies of the present day Christian in this Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. He says the following. He says that there is the wise church and then the foolish church, and that the wise church is this group, special group, that seem to be very well prepared for the coming of the Messiah. And as they are so prepared, what amazes me most is that when the Messiah comes, those who are not prepared are left out. They are left out. So, even more troubling, more difficult to understand now, more troubling, is the fact that those who have the opportunity to prepare well, in this scripture here, talking about the current position of the church. But it's even much more troubling that those who are in position, in advantage, who have the opportunity, the chance, to prepare well for the coming of the Messiah, they don't seem to be too keen to help the unprepared. That is indeed what I wanted to raise in this entire Matthew 25 narrative of the coming of the Messiah, of the coming of the day of reckoning. Because he says, those who have the privilege to go on and prepare very well, the Lord raises them in this scripture as not being so keen. They are not too keen to help the disadvantaged or the unprepared. I think as a church, it's very important that we read the Bible with the help of the revelation of the Lord. And if you read the Bible without help of the Lord, then you find that this is yet another reminder to the church. But while Jesus has presented as the preacher of love, the reality on the ground, however, is that he is not always that nice. Let me repeat this. But while Jesus loves all people, including sinners. But while Jesus loves sinners, he does not love sin. And that's why I put it in other words. I said that this is yet another moment, another opportunity, another reminder that while Jesus very much preached love, 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 he is, however, in reality, not always nice to sin, and by extension, to sinners. The sinners that fail to embrace wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Why? Because we see very clearly that when the Lord Jesus was talking about the day of rapture, the day of his coming, the day of the Christ coming, the day of the Messiah's coming, he says, church, be careful. You cannot share the anointing you have to prepare. He's saying that preparedness is individual. That whenever one receives the Lord and also receives the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he says his kingdom is very generous, ready to provide anointing for each other person. Every other person that asks, every person that asks, Lord, anoint me that I may prepare. He is so generous that he provides for the entire earth. And indeed, he wants all of them to enter. However, because of the wickedness of the hearts of men, he says that preparedness is individual. Once you are given the anointing to prepare, then you now see the foolish virgins coming to ask, give us some of your oil because our lamps are running dry. Then they say, no, there isn't enough for both us and you. Meaning, number one, there will be high risk at this hour. The risk of plunder for the anointing that each one of you goes to church to tap from the Lord. The anointing for preparedness. He says when you get that anointing, make sure you prepare well. Use it to prepare well. You can help others to attain that anointing from the Lord, but they cannot take it from you. And that is the misnomer, the misconception that you see today as consumed the church, where they say, come, I give you the anointing like mine. And all that fallacy that you see running around across the globe. However, he speaks very clearly here, and he says, some of them are left. The Lord Jesus leaves some. The Lord Jesus is, however, when it comes to the return of the Messiah, not that much, that much inclusive. He is not that much inclusive. So he's questioning the church. This generous inclusiveness, the inclusive tendencies that you have adopted into your Christianity, where you are now mixing your salvation with everybody else, with the life of the world, with everything of the world, with the postmodernism of the day, he's asking, where does that come from? Because in my teaching to you, in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, I came out very clearly that in that parable, some people are left out. And therein you see the nature of the Messiah, the hidden nature of the Messiah. And I say that is not troubling to the fact that those who have the opportunity to prepare very well, they don't seem to be so keen to help the foolish virgin, to help those who are disadvantaged, who don't have the opportunity to prepare. And I said, that portends, it projects to the church, the very hidden